You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 42.
La lectura de hoy está en Lucas 6, 27 al 42.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish, and as you wish the others would do to you, do also to them.
Pero a ustedes que me escuchan, les digo, amén a sus enemigos, hagan bien a quienes los odian, bendigan a quienes los maldicen y oren por quienes los maltratan. Si alguien te pega en una mejilla, vuélvele también la otra. Si alguien te quita la capa, no le impidas que se lleve también la camisa. Dale a todo el que te pida. Y si alguien se lleva lo que es tuyo, no se lo reclames. Traten a los demás tal y como quieren que ellos los traten a ustedes.
If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same.
¿Qué mérito tienen ustedes al amar solamente a quienes los aman? Aún los pecadores lo hacen así. ¿Y qué mérito tienen ustedes al hacer bien a quienes les hacen bien? Aún los pecadores actúan así.
And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful.
¿Y qué mérito tienen ustedes al dar prestado a quienes pueden corresponderles? Aún los pecadores se prestan entre sí, esperando recibir el mismo trato. Ustedes, por el contrario, amen a sus enemigos, háganles bien, y denles prestado sin esperar nada a cambio. Así tendrán una gran recompensa y serán hijos del Altísimo, porque Él es bondadoso con los ingratos y malvados. Sean compasivos, así como su Padre es compasivo.
Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you.
No juzguen y no se les juzgará. No condenen y no se les condenará. Perdonen y se les perdonará. Den y se les dará. Se les echará en el regazo una medida llena, apretada, sacudida y desbordante, porque con la medida con que miden a otros se les medirá a ustedes.
He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher.
También les contó esta parábola. ¿Acaso puede un ciego guiar a otro ciego? ¿No caerán ambos en el hoyo? El discípulo no es superior a su maestro, pero todo el que haya completado su aprendizaje será como su maestro.
Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye.
¿Por qué te fijas en la astilla que tiene tu hermano en el ojo y no le das importancia a la viga que está en tu ojo, en el tuyo? ¿Cómo puedes decirle a tu hermano, hermano, déjame sacarte la astilla del ojo, cuando tú mismo no te das cuenta de la viga en el tuyo? Hipócrita, saca primero la viga de tu propio ojo y entonces verás con claridad para sacar la astilla del ojo de tu hermano.
These are the words of God.
Hey friends, good morning. If we had not had a chance to meet yet, my name is Kenson. I serve as the pastor at Park Community Church in Bridgeport, and I cannot explain just how thrilled I am to have a chance to share a morning with you wonderful people here at Bethany Baptist. Thank you to the leadership team here, and especially Linda for the invite here. And also, if you guys have never seen Linda play volleyball, she's a force to be reckoned with on the volleyball court, for sure. But friends, thank you so very much for having me here. I also do want to apologize that normally I would love to just stay and just, you know, chat with you guys, but right after I'm done here, I actually have a counseling meeting right after this, so with some of my folks, so I'm sorry that afterwards I'll have to jet out of here. But really, just really grateful to be here. If you guys don't know a little bit about my story, I'm actually born and raised here in Chicago. I grew up in the Bridgeport neighborhood, but moved to McKinley Park in high school, and I have lived there ever since. So I lived at Archer and Damon right across from Huck Finn's for like 20 some odd years, and then I moved a little further east, but I still live in McKinley. So I'm just so grateful for Bethany here and being a faithful gospel presence in our city. So thank you guys again. So once again, we are in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Let me start with this. I've never been a guy who pays much attention to jewelry. I barely like even wearing a watch. But when I got engaged to my wife, Susan, and looking to buy wedding rings, I got a crash course on jewelry. You know, the importance of cut, clarity, color, carat for a diamond, and all the different options that were available. And when it came time to shop for engagement rings, I wanted a really thick wedding band made out of platinum because I heard it was good, like premium material. A couple of my friends had platinum wedding bands. But when I saw the price tag for the ring, I almost fell out of my seat. That the price for a platinum wedding band was twice the price of my wife, Susan's wedding band, and her wedding band had diamonds all over it. And as I was looking for cheaper options, I was surprised to learn that gold was cheaper than platinum because platinum is more rare. Just to give you an idea, every year about 1,000 tons of gold is mined. That's a lot. But only 150 tons of platinum is mined. Now, if you notice here, I do not have my platinum wedding band on because I lost it snorkeling in Hawaii over 18 years ago. So now I wear a rubber one because my wife doesn't trust me with anything expensive anymore. So this is what I have to wear all the time. Now, I share this with you because Jesus gives us one of the most recognizable statements that he's ever taught, the golden rule. It's in verse 31. Do unto others as you would like them to do for you. Many believers and unbelievers alike live by this rule. And frankly, if everyone did, the world would be a better place. You know, I wake up in the morning and I can't wait for my cup of coffee. To live by the golden rule is to think that, you know what, if it's good for me to get a cup of coffee, I should also get one for my wife. Or I'm driving to work and I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of traffic. It would be so nice, you know, if some of these people will let me cut in front of them. To live by the golden rule would be to say, you know what, I should let other folks cut in front of me. Or if I show up late to a meeting, I would really appreciate some grace. To live by the golden rule is if someone was late for me, I would give them grace too. That's the golden rule. And it is good and it is fine. But that's not exactly what Jesus is thinking here. Because when we think of the golden rule, we think of people that are already in our circle, our friends, our family, our coworkers, well-meaning strangers. But notice the people Jesus is talking about here. Verse 27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Verse 28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Verse 29, to one who strikes you on the cheek, the one who takes away your cloak. Jesus wants us to love difficult and mean people. Now, the context of our verses is that Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Plain. It's a teaching in how Jesus gives a picture of the upside-down, countercultural ethic of living in light of the kingdom of God for those who truly want to follow him. And what Jesus demands here is that for his followers to do more than just the golden rule, to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, today he gives us the platinum rule. Do unto others as Jesus has done unto you. The reason I'm calling this the platinum rule is because this type of radical love is very rare to see, rarer than the golden rule. This love for enemy that is being asked for is more than just about the people who bug us or who just annoy us a bit. These are deceptive and controlling and manipulative people. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about somebody who's physically or sexually abusive. That's different. That's illegal. These people are hard and difficult and hurtful to be around. And Jesus says, love them. Be patient with them. Be forgiving to them. Be tender to them. As Christ followers, we are called to be different from everybody else in how they deal with differences and disagreements. For example, if you have an enemy, the world teaches, get even. Jesus teaches, get right. If somebody takes something from you, the world teaches, take it back and get something of theirs on the way. Jesus says, if they take something from you, bless them with something else. This is an upside-down kingdom ethic of love. This is the platinum rule. So with that, let's unpack a bit of what Jesus teaches about the platinum rule, to do unto others as Jesus has done for you. Verse 27 and 30 again. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back, okay? Now, Jesus is not saying here that if someone wants to steal from you, you just become a doormat and you don't do anything about it, okay? That's not what he's talking about. The context here is back in those ancient days, Roman soldiers were allowed to force subjects to carry their backpacks. They could ask anybody at any time, and by law, it could only be for a mile. So just imagine that you're a Jewish person who's under the oppression of the Roman Empire. You would not be happy about this. Jesus says, you know what? Not only give them a mile, give them 2 miles. Roman soldiers could force you to give them a cloak. Jesus says, give that to them, and also give them your tunic. Jesus even says that they might strike you. Turn the other cheek. Now, this could be a literal slap in the face, or more broadly, an insult. But the key here is no retaliation, physical or verbal. If they hurt you, you do not hurt back. And let me just say, this is where the teachings of Jesus feel so impossible. Because we live in a world where it's all about an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Don't get mad, get even. Let's give them a taste of their own medicine. Jesus gives no room for this. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even give room for us to harden our hearts or to hold a grudge or even the option to ignore them. He says, love your enemies. Why? Because it gives proof that you are truly following Jesus. Jesus says in verses 32 and 34, anyone can love easy people. For example, it can be easy to love people of the same education level, socioeconomic status, same skin color, same political party. It's easy to love those who do favors for us. But Jesus says here in verse 32, but even sinners love those who love them. Even sinners lend to sinners. In other words, it takes no spiritual power to love easy people. To love easy people gives no evidence that you are following Jesus. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? When we choose to love our enemies, we look like our heavenly Father. You'll be sons of the Most High. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. But here's the thing. Our natural response when we are hurt is not to look like Jesus. Our natural response is payback. That's what we want to see happen. You know, when I was a kid, I shared a bunk bed with my little brother. He slept up top, I slept on the bottom, and between the bed and the wall, there was this little gap that was there. And what my brother and I would do is that we would play peekaboo all the time. So I would put my head on the side of the wall, and you know, he would drop like plush toys like down, you know, to try to hit me, and I would dodge it. And that's kind of our thing as brothers, that what we would do. Well, one day, my little brother had a baseball bat in his bed. I have no idea why it was up there, but it was up there. So we're playing around, and we're messing around, and he's jumping around. He's trying to throw stuff down, so he's trying to hit my face. Next thing you know, this bat rolls off the side of the bed and hits me right on my nose. I am screaming. I am crying. I am running up and down the hallway because that's just how much it hurts. Can I tell you something? In that moment, my natural response was not, come on over here. Let's hug this out. My natural response was to punch him right in the nose. Now, by God's grace, I did not do that. Do not do that. Okay, I did not punch him in the nose. But that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted him to feel the exact pain that I felt that he caused in my life. This is what happens with the difficult and hurtful people in our lives. We want to hurt them too. We want to be mean right back at them. But when we do this, we end up looking like the very people who hurt us. When we love our enemies, we reflect the love of God. A love that is not self-interested, but selfless and sacrificial. And notice here again that when Jesus calls us to love, it's an action. He doesn't say love your enemies and show it with, you know, well-meaning thoughts or like a gift, like a card from Walgreens or whatever. No. He says love is to walk a mile. Love gives a tunic. Love turns the other cheek. When you love your enemies, give them more than they could ever deserve, because I want you, as my followers, to reflect my heart. I want you to show the world how kind your God is. Show them how merciful I am. Show them how patient I am. Show them how gracious I am. To love in this way, we reflect a family resemblance because Jesus loved this way. Romans 5:8 says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Who did Christ die for? Who did Jesus suffer for? It was for us. It was for his enemies. The very people that put him to death, he came to save. Jesus was mocked, abused, and slapped, and instead of getting even, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Jesus was stripped naked, his tunic and robe was taken, and Jesus allowed it. He didn't demand his rights, because if Jesus demanded his rights, we would be doomed. Christ loved his enemies, and because of his love, we can be sons and daughters of God. It's in his selfless love he transforms us. When we love like Jesus, not only does the love of Jesus transform us, but when we love others, we can transform them. Notice the ethic of what Jesus teaches here. He teaches us that when we love in this way, the vicious cycle of injustice, bitterness, and revenge stops, because it stops with you. You don't let it go any further. Now, to give an application here, and Jesus, if you notice, gives very practical ways in how to love our enemies. That loving our enemies is so much more than just tolerating them or ignoring them. Jesus says to love. And this is so key for us, and I want to sit here for a little bit. Because we think that when we're loving others, especially those who are difficult, that we think that holding back is enough. That, you know what? I didn't yell back. I didn't slash their tires. I didn't throw their clothes onto the street. And we think we're good because we haven't done those things. Jesus says, no, 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 no. love them. Do something. What does that look like? Just look at our verses. Do good to them. What does that mean? Be kind. It's acts of grace, mercy, and kindness. This is not rocket science. Bless those who curse you. This means that those who slander you or gossip about you or attack you with their words, don't return the favor. Don't write a negative tweet. Bless them. Pray for them. Pray that they would come to repentance and come to Jesus. Endure their mistreatment. Give and expect nothing back. When you think of those who are difficult and mean, can you do one of these things for them today? Jesus here shows us that it's oftentimes the most painful parts of our life that provide the most glorious opportunity to show off who Christ is. Here's the next thing that Jesus teaches. It's in verses 37 of 42 on the platinum rule. And what he does here in teaching us this radical love is how we can exercise judgment with Christ-like love. Now, it's important here to know what kind of judgment that we're talking about, because when many people read these verses, they take it out of context and think that it means that, you know what, it's a blanket statement to say that any form of critique or moral evaluation is bad. That's not what these verses are saying. As a matter of fact, one of the most unloving things we could ever do is not help others to walk in holiness and greater faithfulness with Jesus. It's unloving because you care more about yourself than you do for them in their walk in Christ. The judging that Jesus and the Bible consistently forbids is a judgment that condemns. It's a judgment that powers up over people. It's hypercritical. It's harsh. It wants to punish. This is how the world operates. But in the upside-down ethic of the kingdom of God, judging others is a humble approach, a prayerful approach, a selfless approach. We are to practice a judgment that must be tempered with mercy and wisdom. This is why a loving judgment is a platinum rule, because it is so rare to see this type of humble and loving judgment. Instead, what do we see? Well, what I see in my own heart, there's a lot of gossip. We delight in the failures of others. That's an unloving judgment. You know, when we drive and someone cuts us off and we pass them up and stare them down, we're not saying hello. We're letting them know, I see you, and don't you ever try that again, right? That's what we're doing. Did you know that the number one TV show in America for close to 20 years was Judge Judy? You know, judging is easy. Looking down is easy. But loving others and building them up, that is so rare. That's why it's the platinum rule. So what Jesus does here is that he helps us to be like Jesus on how to practice a judgment that is radically loving. Let me show you a few things here. First, he tells us that if you want to practice the platinum rule, be generous with your posture. Be generous with your posture when you judge. Verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus teaches here to be generous in our judgment. Verse 38, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Principle is so simple here. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. If you are harsh, you'll be treated harshly. If you assume the worst of others, others will assume the worst of you. If you keep records of wrongs, you keep people on a short leash, others will do the same to you. But the opposite is also true. If you are quick to forgive, if you let go of resentment, if you assume the best of others, you'll experience that in return. God promises that. Look at verse 38. It says this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Now, it's confusing what's going on here, but Jesus, what he's doing is that he's using a farming analogy. Now, in those days, the harvesters, the people who worked in the field, the way that they got paid was at the end of the week, they could take home a basket full of wheat. But during the work week, as they were working, they would carry these big baskets from the field to the barn, But when they did that, they could never fill their baskets all the way to the top because it would be just way too heavy to do that nonstop all throughout the day for the entire week. But when it came to the last basket, the basket that they could take home for themselves, they would pack it. They would press it down, shake it till it settled, and filled it to the brim. You know, it reminds me of a time when I was eating at a buffet with my family, and my uncle couldn't join us because he was at work. So my grandma wanted to make sure that he had a box of food. So the buffet had this offer where they had these to-go boxes at a set price. So basically, whatever food you can fit in this box in the buffet was at that one price. My goodness, my grandmother, she went to town, okay? So she got the box, and what she would do is that she would first lay out all the meats on the bottom. Then she would press and squeeze out any unnecessary juices and water. My grandmother would also take the shrimp and deshell everything, the shrimp, the clams, put them all in there. And she would debone all the chickens and keep only the meat. There was no empty space in that to-go box. By the time that she was done, that little to-go box must have weighed like 10 pounds of food. My uncle had leftovers for days. What Jesus is doing here is that he is painting a picture of this is how God loves to bless those who practice the platinum rule. That when you radically love like Christ love, Christ follower, be ready because the blessings that are coming your way will be pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's more than you can handle. So be generous. Be gracious in our judgments. God will do the same for you. Jesus continues now by saying that if you want to practice this loving judgment, you want to practice the platinum rule, be careful who you follow. Verse 39 and 40. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into the pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. We become who we follow, whether it's religious, business, or in social settings. The people we look up to will impact the pattern of our lives. So if your leader is blind, you're going to fall into the same pit. But if you have a leader who sees with moral clarity, can navigate the tension of walking with messy and broken people, if you have a leader who's always looking to build others up and show kindness and humility, that's a leader that is modeling the platinum rule. Now, the reason Jesus touches on this point is as a form of critique to the Pharisees and religious leaders who are modeling a very unloving and hypocritical judgment on others, which leads us to the final section. If you want to practice a loving judgment, you got to deal with your stuff first. You got to deal with your stuff first. Verse 41 to 42. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here's the principle. What Jesus is saying is that it is far easier to see the sin in others than it is to see the sin in ourselves. Jesus teaches here that whenever you notice sin in others, stop, full stop, and immediately ask, do I see it in my own life? Seeing sin around us should immediately cause us to examine sin in us. How do I need to be more holy? What do I need to confess? So to be clear, Jesus is not saying that we should not help a brother or sister turn from sin. We are commanded to help others grow in holiness, to become more like Jesus, to spur one another on towards love, towards Christ. That is the platinum rule. What Jesus does here is that he gives us an order, a process to follow. Deal with your stuff before you correct somebody else. Before criticism, there must be personal confession. You know, look at the illustration that Jesus uses here. Jesus is saying, you know, here's a person with a speck, and now you have a person with a plank here, okay? Linda, can you actually come on up here? Can I illustrate you real quick here? So Linda, here, let me just give you this little golf pencil here. And can you just do me a favor and just hold it to your eye? If you could for me. Just hold it to your eye.
Sure, I want to.
If you could, yeah. There you go, okay? All right. And I'll hold mine up. Okay. Hey, Linda, I don't know if you noticed this, but you got something in your eye.
No, I don't.
You know what I mean? You know, that's sin. I don't have, you know, you should really take care of that. You know, actually, you know, quite honestly, it's really embarrassing that you're not dealing with that. You know, you should really step down from leadership. You know, I think this disqualifies you. Have you told your small group about this? It's just, you know, it's really not good. So, you know, just, you know what, just, it's embarrassing. Okay, deal with it, okay? You guys see that? All right, Linda, thank you. Let's give her a hand. All right, thank you, Linda.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Now, for anyone who says that Jesus didn't have a sense of humor, this is one of the ways where I think like he got a couple of giggles from the crowd here. But you know what Jesus is doing here, right? He's being purposely outlandish. He's going out of his way to show us a person who would rather deal with the sin of others than deal with their own sin. And he calls this person a hypocrite. You know, this is in reference to those ancient days when one actor would play many different roles on the stage. And the way that they would do it is that they would wear all these different masks to play all these different roles. Jesus is saying, you're a hypocrite because you're just pretending. You're lying. You like to look holy, but in your heart, you are so self-righteous. Instead of helping others walk in holiness, you are a barrier to holiness. Friends, this is a self-righteousness that will always keep us from obeying the platinum rule, because self-righteousness would make us believe that we're better than who we truly are, that we're better than the people around us. So instead of being merciful, we become merciless. So here's the question. How can we fix this? End of verse 42. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. And why do you need to see clearly? To take out the speck in your brother's eye. So notice, you are to help your brother who is dealing with sin. But first, see clearly. Jesus is telling us here that if we apply the platinum rule, we need to correct our vision. That before we look at the sin of others and say, what about you? The gospel demands that we first ask, what about me? Where am I blind to it? And it's when we do this, we will see the plank in our eye, and it will knock us out of our self-righteous pride, because the gospel says that we are all helpless sinners. We have all fallen short of God's standard. That as hard as we would try, we could never perform to the standards. We could never, ever be good enough. And because of that, the wages of sin must be condemnation and death. This is what the plank has done to us. But this is the great news of the gospel. Jesus was plank free. Jesus was golf pencil free. He was sinless. If anyone had the right to condemningly judge us, it was him, but Jesus didn't. Instead, he allowed himself to be condemned in our place so that he could give us the righteousness of God. That Jesus was the judge that allowed himself to be laid on the cross to experience the harshest judgment in all of human history, so that in God's eyes, you and me would be loved and accepted before God. When we see the cross clearly, it will empower us to live out the platinum rule, because it's on the cross. Jesus was judged on behalf of his enemies so that he can save us. Let me just close with this story here. In January of 1956, five American missionaries headed to the rainforest of the eastern Amazon in Ecuador. They were making a visit to a tribe which anthropologists said was the most vicious, violent society on the face of the earth. They had a culture of killing. Studies show that 60% of the tribe died by homicide. As soon as these missionaries got out of the plane, they were speared to death by the members of the tribe. The brutal murders made news all around the world. Two of the men that were killed was Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. A couple years later, Elizabeth and Valerie Elliott, wife and daughter of Jim, and Rachel Saint, the sister of Nate, moved into that very village. to show love and forgiveness and minister to the people who had killed their families. And eventually, because he practiced the platinum rule, the leader of the tribe and the other men who participated in the murders gave their life to Christ. And let me just show you a picture of Elizabeth Elliot in the tribe. You know, Bethany Baptist, don't do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Live out the platinum rule. Do unto others as Christ has done for you to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Like God, Romans 5 just, man, sits on my heart so heavily because before we even knew to ask for salvation, you sent your Son to die for his enemies. That God, the abuse, the ridicule, the mocking, the dishonoring that happened on the cross, God, it's more than what we can ever imagine. And Father, your Son stayed on that cross because he is merciful. He is loving. He is gracious. Father, I pray that you would help us as Christ followers to do just the same. That God, that we would love those, especially those who are difficult, who are mean. And God, we don't do so for ourselves. But God, we do so because we want to reflect you. But Father, we can't do that in our own power. We can't do that by pulling up our sleeves here, you know, tying up our bootstraps. God, that's not how it works. But Father, the only way we can ever love in such a radical and wonderful way is when we understand how much we've been loved by you. So God, overwhelm our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help Bethany Baptist here on the corner here in McKinley Park to be known as a church that loves and loves radically. That this is a place of welcome, place of refuge, a place where they can hear the good news of a loving Savior, Jesus Christ. So God, help us, Lord. I pray for each of us. God, I have no doubt that in a room like this, there are many relationships that are strained, that God, in all the years that we've lived, God, there's been hard conversations. People have said mean things about us. People have assumed wrongly about us. And God, we're still living with that. Father, I pray that you will get us to a place where we would not only just know these words, but God, that we would apply what Jesus teaches. So God, help us with that. Be merciful on us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.